And now, the Phil Henry Show with Phil Henry. West of the Rockies, dial 1-800-449-8686. East of the Rockies, dial 1-800-449-8686. First-time callers, dial 1-800-449-8686. And the wildcard line is 1-800-449-8686. And now, here's Phil Henry.
Tonight on our show, we're going to have a Democratic Party analyst to talk about this recent alleged affair, a recent bit of news alleging an affair between Senator John Kerry and a young woman. Some people say an intern, but maybe that's just because everybody's got Clinton on the brain. But there is, and it was on the Drudge Report this afternoon, there is an allegation of a sexual relationship between John Kerry and a woman, not his wife, that began in the spring of 2001 and ended about a year ago. And we're going to be talking with the senator about how, or excuse me, we're not going to talk with the senator, we're going to talk about this Mr. Reichel, who is the Democratic Party analyst, about how the voters are going to get over it. They're going to forgive it because we're a far different country today than we were back during the Bill Clinton, Monica Lewinsky flap. Also, Dave Oliva will be with us. One of our listeners, we've asked a variety of listeners to review new shows that are coming up on the TV schedule this spring. There's the show on called The Littlest Groom, and it's going to feature dwarfs. It'll be like a dwarf bachelor or bachelorette, a little people bachelor or bachelorette. Little people, hanging out with each other, and then ultimately choose, you know, like a little man will choose some woman, and there'll be some regular-sized women. And, you know, I'm going to talk with him about, isn't this sort of exploitation and a little bit of kind of stereotype? And Dave, who is Mexican-American, will say, no, you can't really discriminate against dwarfs, only blacks and Mexicans. So he'll talk with us about that coming up on our show. Now, to start off tonight, not a big thing, but Janice and I noticed a picture on the Fox News website. And it was about the gay and lesbian, gay people who got married up in San Francisco. Here it is, right here. And gay couples wed in San Francisco. Now, it's a picture, and I can't really describe it other than to use the words of my producer. Two of the funkiest, gnarliest-looking boiling dykes you ever saw in your life. Now, why do they do that? Why do they have... They look like a couple of freaks. Why? Because it's still a freak show. Gay people are still a freak show to us. They're still freaky and weird looking. That's why I said, you know, like not too long ago, I said, if you're gay in this country, don't ever trust straight people. They'll shank you in the back so fast. They'll stick a Bronze Age flint axe at the base of your skull so quick. You think you got straight friends, gay people? You ain't got any straight friends. Unless maybe they're your parents who really dig you and love you and accept you and all that stuff. But straights, man, are afraid of gay people. They're just, it's too weird for words. It's just too strange. And the proof is in the pudding here, where the Fox News Channel chooses to put on their website a picture of two of the weirdest-looking people, as if to say, yeah, look at the freaks getting married up in San Francisco to gay folks. Because, you know, that's just for straight people. So let's get this. One of them looks, well, I can't even describe. I mean, one of them has these, like, big designer glasses. The other one looks like she just got out of a covered wagon. And one of them looks really happy, and the other one looks pissed off, and the one that's looking pissed off is holding up the wedding certificate, the wedding license. See, just don't make any mistake about it. It's the gay people, homosexuality, the whole thing is still just a weird-ass, strange trip. And it's like the gay pride parade, you know? All them cats that show up in the Patti LaBelle wigs or dressed like the three daughters from Brady Bunch, or the guys wearing the chaps with no underwear. And that's what, you know, that's what happens, man. Everybody says that's where it's at. That's the freak show gay thing. And, well, you just have to accept us as who we are. I can understand that. But you have to realize that that is what's used by people who are, you know, basically the enemies of anybody that wants just people to get along in this world. The enemies of that are going to take the weirdest picture. So we know what the Fox News Channel thinks of gay marriage anyway, right? Which, like, was it any secret? I mean, come on, is there any doubt where those guys stand on anything? Man, these two women, the funkiest looking old boilers you ever laid your eyes on. Not two attractive chicks. You know, there must have been a couple there who were getting married who looked pretty hot. No, what do they got to do? They got to throw on their webpage a couple of, I mean, like it's right out of Dawn of the Dead. two old ladies here, one of them with the big high eyebrows and the big designer glasses, big-ass red lips and some brand-new choppers. The other one, she looks like some old bag that had come out with a shotgun and go, y'all best just go back down the road when she came. You know, I can imagine them living in a cabin up there in Los Gatos or something, or up there in Novato, and, they go out occasionally for the Lilith Fair thing, and it's every stereotype. And, man, that one there with the look on her face, it's almost as if I don't get around too many straight people, so just take your picture and get out of here. Otherwise, out comes all manner of weapons. So, it's a crack-up. It's just really funny, the whole gay marriage. You know, do you realize there was almost a fist fight in some state house the other day over this thing? Gay marriage, should it be? Look, I explained the whole symbolism thing. Nobody got it, but I explained it. Yeah, I talked about it. Straight people see it's their thing, right? Gay folks, they want in on it. Whatever, you can call it anything you want. Civil union between people, I don't care. It's gonna happen. It ain't not gonna happen. It's the stupidest argument that has ever been waged in the history of man on this planet. Let's let the damn people get married. And like the guy said, man, when he wrote me the email, it was a great point he made. He said, hey, you know, everybody's arguing over whether gay people ought to get married. Look at how you straight folks treat marriage with that freaking Britney Spears going up there. She has herself a couple of umbrella drinks. Next thing you know, she's waking up next to a valet. She's waking up to some guy that was emptying the trash out behind Caesars the night before. She's married to the guy. This is how straight folks deal with marriage. Are you putting me on or what? Straight people, it's their domain. Let me tell you what. I'm married to a woman who was divorced and is now dealing with an ex-husband, and I have been privy to the wonders of marriage, just looking at what she had to deal with in her past marriage and still has to deal with in terms of child support, in terms of feelings between ex-spouse and spouse, the handling of the children. If I just landed from Mars and I took a look at the average divorce in this country, I would think that marriage was worse than any war crime that Hitler ever committed. It's obnoxious. It's disgusting. And you cats are arguing about whether gay people ought to be involved in it? Hell, they might improve it a little bit. Who knows? They had to fight so hard to get to be, to be recognized as people ought to get married. Maybe they'll treat it with a little bit of freaking respect, as opposed to 99% of the married people out there who, we gave it a shot. We were married for a whole 2 years. Yeah, and where are the kids, man? Well, I got them custody half the time, but that bitch ex-wife of mine, she gets them half the time, and I don't want to pay any child support, so I'm just going to go and I'm going to have more custody. Oh, because you really love your kids and you want to be with them? No, I just don't want to pay all that child support. Okay, so when your kids are with you, what are you doing? Oh, I'm playing golf. I'm out of town. Who cares? I got a babysitter for them. The hell are you straight people coming off with all this stuff about, marriage is your thing. Give it up, baby. It ain't your thing. Belongs to anybody that cares. Anybody wants to, get married, ought to get married. Anybody loves each other, they ought to love each other. And that's where it's at. Until such time as we see the straight people of this world treating marriage with a little more respect, just put a freaking sock in it and a cork up it, if you don't mind. I don't mean to be hard on you. I know we're just getting right. I got to yell at you sometimes because you're so bloody stupid. But thank you for listening and patronizing my sponsors. Now then, so Dave Oliva, huh, on The Littlest Groom. Have you heard of this show? Fox came up with this idea. They're going to have dwarfs, and it'll be a dwarf bachelor thing. So a little tiny man will, all these little tiny women will come out, and he'll kind of pick and choose. And then here's the real laugh. Regular-sized women are going to come out, too, and come on to him so that the whole country can laugh at the screwy little dwarf making himself look stupid for the big woman. Now, let me just say something to the people of Fox, and we'll get into it later with Dave Oliva. Did you ever see a movie called Freaks? You saw that movie, right, Chris? That's what happens when you mess with a dwarf. You want to screw with a dwarf? Whoever's in charge of programming over at Fox, you're going to look like that broad at the end of that movie, man. You screw around with a dwarf. You want to make fun of people, huh? You want to, have a joke at their expense, huh? Okay. I don't know, maybe it's cooler than it just came across. The initial report sounded kind of stupid, but maybe it's cool. I don't know. We'll talk with Dave Oliva about it. And coming up, in just minutes, I should have plugged this earlier. Maybe we can Can we put her off until the bottom of the hour? Let's do that, because I want to let you guys know, get people around the radio. The allegation today is that Senator John Kerry carried on an extramarital affair with a young woman. We are going to interview that young woman. I have been asked not to mention her name or her whereabouts, but we have her, and we will talk with her right after our break at the bottom of the hour. This is an alleged affair. We don't know whether it happened or not. We'll find out. Coming up right after the break at the bottom of the hour, we will talk with a young woman who, it is alleged, had an extramarital affair with presidential contender John Kerry. 1-800-449-86, and a very recent one, too, I'm telling you. Like, it allegedly broke it off about a year ago. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show, our email address, phs@philhenryshow.com.
Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Well, you know, I didn't ask you, Chris, did you ever do that thing with your son?
We didn't have to.
Didn't have to, so it got taken care of?
The principal took care of it.
Yeah, okay. And let me let you guys know, I'm not going to tell them that story, but I'll just say, let's just talk about, like, kids that get pushed around, right, at school. And, see, I don't get why it is this ever becomes an issue. I don't understand. There's something really wrong, you know, when like a kid gets pushed around in school and the school didn't do anything about it. So the parents got to get involved. You know, it's like, what? What is that? Go over there and tell the kid to stop it. Kick his ass. Whatever you got to do, I don't care.
Well, we don't use physical violence, Mr. Henry.
Well, whatever you got to do, do it, will you?
Well, you know something? That's really not our job.
Well, I understand. The teachers have a tough job. They really do. I get it. Especially Catholic school teachers, because they're always reminding me of how tough their job is.
Oh, is that funny? Is that sarcasm? You going to use that on your radio show?
Maybe. No, seriously, you guys are always crying poor. Why don't you squeeze some more bread out of Mahoney, okay? Maybe he's got a few silver dollars laying around he can give you. But when a kid's getting pushed around at school, like kids bullying other kids, do something about it. Kid got bullied, took a gun to school, blew the other kid's brains out. And now you got a really sick situation that's developed. Here it is. This is it. It's like, hey, it works. What do you mean? Psh. Now all of a sudden, like, you know, a guy's going to get pushed around at school, sees on TV some kid in, like, San Diego or Denver went to school with his old man's gun and shot the guy. And all of a sudden these bullies, these kids, and, you know, kids are bullies because their parents are slobs. You know that, don't you? The only reason why a kid goes to school and he's pushing people around is he's got some slob for a parent. Or he's got an absentee father and a mother that can't control him or whatever the excuse is, right? But, I mean, to let that happen and not do anything as a teacher, it really pisses me off, right? And I'm reading this story about a kid who got beat up on a bus while a bus driver watched. There's got to be something really seriously wrong someplace, folks, with what's going down in this country. But then I have to remind myself, it's been going on for years. I'm not one of these guys that think that this stuff happened yesterday. Kids getting, you know, pushed around at school years and years and years and years and years of this stuff. I mean, you know, there is the other alternative, which is to teach your son how to kick some ass. But the last time I talked about that on the air, I had all these people calling up saying, that's wrong, that's not the right way, what if the boy beats someone to death? I said, well, you know, I'd be willing to back him up. See, I came on here and I said that my son had been called Bagel Boy because my son is part Jewish. I don't just think he's half Jewish. I mean, his father's Jewish, his mother isn't. So, and this is known to some of his friends, and he was called Bagel Boy. And so I said, you know, look at as a friend, you tell him you get one free one, man, one free one, and then you don't say it ever again, or I'm going to loosen your front teeth. And if they say it again, then you have to respond with physical violence, because the fact remains, it's the only way to deal with a racist. All the other stuff about bullying, whether it's just something like stealing a kid's lunch, if the teacher is not going to back you up, if the principal isn't going to back you up, if somebody isn't doing something, then you have to learn how to defend yourself. And it doesn't mean you have to take boxing classes. You can just pick up a, you know, for instance, one of the trays that are there for the lunch. If it's made out of steel, you just, you can hit him with that. Hit him with a good heavy book bag. I mean, all this jazz about, you know, fisticuffs, man. There's all kinds of stuff you can do. Get him right there in the kneecap. Kind of kick the knee, you know, so it reverses inward. That's always fun. Handful of dirt in the eyes. Just whatever you need. Uncle Phil will tell you. But the fact is, if nobody's helping you, you have to do these things. Now, the teachers, the administration will obviously throw you out of the school because you're a discipline problem. Aha! That's when a marvelous thing comes into play, the civil lawsuit. Yes, there are a great many litigious people in this world, and there are a great many silly and frivolous lawsuits. But I'll tell you, one of them is not this. You get pitched out of school because you defended yourself physically because the teachers would not do anything about the bullying and neither would the administration. I guarantee you a jury is going to say, well, you had every right in the world then to do what you did and will probably award you millions. You'll bankrupt the whole school district and I'll be right there cheering when you do. Now that is worth it. Just like it'd be worth it if my kid beat up another kid for calling him Bagel Boy and the kid's family sued, I'd go all the way to the wall with him. I said, you know what? That's right. My son doesn't get called any racial, ethnic terms like that without punching somebody's lights out. Because you know what? Too long this world has allowed that kind of garbage pit behavior to get away with, let people get away with that stuff, and nobody does anything about it, and they come back with some pussy, well, you know, let's talk. Let's sit down. Let me share my culture with you. With many people that works, absolutely. With a dyed-in-the-wool, dumbbell racist, it doesn't. Dumbasses like that, they wouldn't know culture, man. If you said to them, this is a taco, it's from Mexico, that's culture. I don't understand. You know where Mexico is, right?
I'm familiar, yeah.
All right. The taco is a part of Mexican cuisine.
Well, you got that at Taco Bell.
I understand I got it at Taco Bell, but it's a taco.
So that's culture.
Yeah,
well, I don't like Mexicans.
Okay. That's what you're dealing with, man. So I'm very happy to hear that that got settled, and I'm not. Believe me, I realize that it's so difficult sometimes to say some of these things that need to be said because people automatically stereotype. They immediately throw you into this category of being some sort of an idiot who believes that violence is the answer. No, I do not. No, I do not. But I do believe that sometimes it's a very, very smart thing. It's a very smart response. Like I saw a bumper sticker the other day that says, war is not the answer. And I wanted to say, sometimes it is, man. I mean, how could you put a bumper sticker on your car that says, war is not the answer? War is sometimes the only answer. Sometimes it's the best possible solution for a problem. And I think when someone is bent on violence, like these skinheads or these dumbasses, whatever the hell they call them, the only way to meet them is with another, is with violence. I mean, you're not going to talk to people like that. They don't want to hear you. Now, if he's a friend of yours and he says, hey, you spick, hey, man, don't ever call me that again because you're my friend. I'll let you know. I don't like that, dig? Oh, okay, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say that. Then the next day the guy says you're a spick, all the bets are off. You know, go after him. What's wrong with that? Well, all you're doing, Phil, is taking us back into a time that we, oh, come on. No, I am not, and you know it. What happens is the kid keeps getting pushed around, keeps getting pushed around, keeps getting pushed around. The school won't do anything about it. And the next thing you know, he's gone into Grandpa's gun rack. You want that? You do? Oh, okay. Coming up, I'm going to interview the young woman who allegedly had an affair with Senator John Kerry. This took a lot of work this afternoon on the part of my producers, but we have been able to secure this, and we'll talk with her coming up in just a few minutes here on the Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Email address, phs@philhenryshow.com.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
Coming up, we will be interviewing a young woman who is at the center of quite a firestorm of controversy. She is alleged to have had an affair with Senator John Kerry for 2 years. Now, why is this a big deal? Well, it happened fairly recently, from the spring of 2001 to the spring of 2003, allegedly. And it also comes at a time when this man is running for the presidency of the United States, has been very critical of President Bush on a number of personal areas, and for the possibility that he had an extramarital affair to be true, or even partially true, however partially true something like that can be, is certainly news. We're going to talk with that young lady. She's at a location that is, I'm told, very distant, but we're establishing the connection right now, so she'll be on in a couple of minutes. Now, in other news, we have a site for those of you who are born-again Christians and are addicted to porn. You can go to XXXChurch.com. Huh? What's that mean? I'm a born-again Christian, but I got a porn problem. What? Oh, you, Pelton. Okay. I love Jesus. I go to church, but it just so happens that I like to go to www.nastyasssheep.com. Huh? Are you cats for real or what? Why don't you stop with pitching the Christian thing and just get all the, you know, the strap-ons out of your house and let's get straight for a second. Or gay, or whatever you want to be, but quit talking about your damn religion. You know, the problem here isn't that you're addicted to porn. The problem is you came out and called yourself a Christian, or a Muslim, or a Jew, or a Jain, or a whirling dervish, or whatever you are. People wearing their religion like it's a damn suit of armor, man, like it's their uniform. I'm a Christian. Are you a Muslim? I'm a Jew. Are you a Jain? Are you a Buddhist? I'm a Confucianist. I'm a Taoist, really? Oh, wow, you're a Taoist. Wow. Yeah, it's very heavy, man. You probably wouldn't dig it. Oh, yeah, can you explain it to me? Oh, it's about harmony and all this crap. Right, is that why you beat your wife? You know what? She's just sort of, you know, she's not really in the vibe. Okay, get out of here. And leave the beer with me, okay? Please, I paid for it. Sorry. It's definitely the church's dirty little secret, said Mike Foster, co-founder of the anti-porn site, which hosts online support groups for Christians trying to kick the habit. I got to tell you something. I had a girlfriend in Minneapolis who was a born-again Christian. She went to church, and we had an intimate sex life that was wild and nuts and goofy and way out there and replete with all kind of, I never really got hung. I never would say to her, can I just, like, ask a question about something? What? You're going to church right after we just did that? Sure. What's, I don't understand. Well, I mean, what we just did, ain't that, like, against the Bible? No. Well, I mean, well, maybe. No, just quit it. Stop it. You're confusing me. I'm a Christian. Yeah, but what we just did, I mean, is illegal in thousands of countries. Well, I don't think it's right for you to bring it up. Okay. Can we do it again tonight? Sure. All right. So this is the situation,
so,
that...
Yeah. I'm sorry to interrupt. We do have the...
Do we have her? Yeah. Okay, this is Sue?
Yeah.
Let me get Sue on the line. This is Sue. I don't know where you are, and I was told that that's the name that we can use for you, Sue, and I thank you for joining us. And talking to us about, and I don't know if I have her or not. Okay, are you there, ma'am?
Yeah, I'm right here, Phil.
Now, can you tell me, Sue, when did you meet Senator Kerry?
I met him in February of 2001.
Where?
I met him in Washington, D.C.
And what were you doing? What were the two of you doing?
I was engaged in an intern program. I was working as a political science internship for Columbia University. And you know, I saw him in a couple of seminars that were hosted by Senate Education Committee. They invited senators to come and talk with us. And he invited me for lunch after we got to talking, and I found him to be very, you know, very charming. And I decided to see him again. And
did he tell you, well, you knew he was married. Did you see a ring on his finger?
I didn't see a ring on his finger. He... apparently had a reputation, and still does around Washington, as they call him Eject Seat John. And the reason why they call him that is he apparently has a lot of girlfriends and sort of pushes the eject button on a lot of them, and does it by not wearing the wedding ring.
So Senator Kerry did not have a wedding ring, and you decided that he was not married as a result of that?
Yeah, And then I found out he was married, but we had already begun our relationship, so I just, you know, he told me it was all right. He told me that his, you know, his wife thought it was okay.
Senator Kerry said to you, Sue, while you're having an active sexual relationship with him, that his wife knew and she said it was okay.
He said, that's what he told me. He said, yeah. He said, I forget her name, Melanie or Jane or something, his wife, doesn't mind. In fact, she'd like to watch occasionally. And so...
Now, keep in mind what you're saying. You're saying that Senator John Kerry's wife said to him, and he communicated to you, he doesn't mind him having this affair with you.
Right.
And she'd like to even watch sometime.
Yes. He said that she wanted to watch, and that it was all a lot of good fun, and she didn't care. So I, you know, I was only, you know, 16 at the time, and...
All right, now, wait a minute. How old are you now?
I just turned 18.
So you're telling me that Senator Kerry had an affair with you and you were an underage minor?
That's right.
And his wife wanted to watch?
Yeah.
Where are you?
Right now I'm at the animal hospital that I work at. And I was scraping the runs when you called.
So you scraped the runs at an animal hospital right now?
Well, it was the job that Senator...
Well, my producer told me earlier that Senator Kerry got you that job, right?
Yes, he did.
Why? Was he acting? He's trying to get you out of Washington?
That was my understanding. I found out that he had contacted a friend of mine who then communicated with me that the senator wanted to talk to me. And
all right, well, I want to get into that. You've been in touch with him, haven't you?
Yes, I have.
All right. We're talking with Sue, and she is alleged to have had an affair. You're claiming it happened with Senator John Kerry between the spring of 2001 and the spring of 2003. She's at a job right now. You're scraping dog runs at a kennel. Is that it?
It's an animal hospital, yeah. And
you say Senator Kerry got you that job?
Yes.
All right, I want to get to that, but first, so you're having this affair with him. Did his wife ever watch the two of you have sex?
She was supposed to one night, and she... I forget what happened, but she didn't show up. She had an appointment. She was either going to come and watch us have sex or go to a Capitals hockey game, and I think she had tickets for the hockey, so she went to that. But he said she was going to show up, but she didn't.
She went to a hockey game instead?
That's what he said. So,
did he ever tell you he was going to run for president?
He said he wanted to be president, yeah. He said that, there was a lot of stuff that he could do. And it would be a lot of fun. And he also said to me, and this is the reason why I'm kind of angry, he also said to me, and you also could live at the White House. And I said, well, how can you do that if you're, you know, married? He said, well, I could, you know, have them believe that you're my daughter or something like that.
Okay, you have to be clear as to what you're saying here, Sue, because these are some very serious charges, that the senator wanted to have sex with you in front of his wife and was prepared to do that, except she went to a hockey game instead.
Well, they had season tickets, and apparently they couldn't, for whatever reason, get rid of him that night.
And then he said that you could move into the White House and he would pass you off as his daughter.
That's right, yeah. And we could still have sex. He said not in the residence area because that's the Secret Service was there, but we could in the kitchen. You know, he wanted to have sex in the kitchen or out where the garbage pails are because that was the best place. There was no Secret Service out there.
So the senator is going to move you into the White House and have sex with you out in the service area where they dump garbage pails.
Well, he said that was the best place because they there's not a lot of Secret Service.
You know, I want to ask you a question about men. It must be power that turns women on because Senator Kerry's not a particularly attractive man, is he?
Well, to me, he was. I mean, I'm into that kind of lanky, kind of Gumby type, I guess you could say. It's just, and kind of. I was into it, but now I'm kind of barely ashamed of it, and I just want the American people to know that I'm sorry about it. So I got a lot of runs to scrape. There's a lot of dog crap. I don't know if you...
Okay, well, Sue, one more question, and then I'll let you go because I know that it's probably... What time is it where you are?
Well, if I told you that, you'd know where I was. But let me just put it this way: it's almost lunchtime.
Almost lunchtime. Okay. When did Senator Kerry get in touch with you and get you this job?
I heard from him last month when he said that they were going to find out about him having an affair with me and about us having sex, in his car and all that stuff. And I said, what do you want me to do? And he said, I'd like you to get out of the country. And he gave me a ticket to a place, and the man gave me a job.
So you're working in a dog kennel?
Yeah.
Is this financially motivated for you, Sue? Are you going public?
No, I mean, I told my friend, and she told everybody. I didn't say anything. I don't care, you know. And besides, I got a call from, I probably shouldn't say, but I got a call from Michael Moore, who makes the movies.
Yeah?
And he wanted to know if I could, if I took it three ways, and I just didn't.
Oh, wait a minute. Michael Moore, the filmmaker?
Yeah.
So isn't he married?
I don't know, but, you know, I told him that I got to draw the line at him, though. It's, you know, Gary was frightening enough, but having about that, I mean, Jesus, you know, I mean, I'm on a low-fat diet as it is, so.
All right, Sue, listen, thank you for joining us. I know this has been very tough. I can hear dogs barking. You got to scrape the crap out of their runs and get back to where we live, right?
Yeah, I do. They're getting pissed. It's one that got out earlier.
Sue, thank you very much, and we're sorry that you've been put through this.
That's, yeah. Hey, hold on. Get off my leg, will you? I got a dog. It's dry humping my leg. What they do is it's a dominance thing. And
yeah, that's fine. I don't need to know the whole thing. Thank you.
You bet.
A very, very strange tale indeed from Sue, the young lady who had the affair, or she claims it's an actual event, had an affair with John Kerry. And she's been approached since then by Michael Moore, the filmmaker. She's declined because she said, quote, there's not enough money in the world. So how will this affect Senator Kerry? She says that he wanted to have sex with her in front of his wife and that she was going to be there, his wife, except she had tickets for a hockey game and couldn't make it that night. Also, she says that he could move into the, she said that he told her she could move into the White House with him. He'd pass her off as his daughter, but they couldn't have sex in beds or anything. They'd have to do it out in the service porch. I think it really paints a pretty low picture of Senator John Kerry. And I think if you're a Democrat tonight, now maybe you know what I've been talking about. 1-800-449-8686. Our email address, phs@philhenryshow.com. We'll be right back.
1-800-449-8686. The world famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
We had Hollywood producer Tony Neal on our show a couple of days ago, who also does some fundraising for John Kerry. He said that he believes in John Kerry. He's very much supportive because of John Kerry's service in Vietnam. In fact, Senator Kerry, in the words of Tony Neal, quote, won the bronze medal, end quote, in Vietnam. Finally, Tony cops to the audience that not only does he really support Senator Kerry, but he actually channels him through visions and dreams.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
I am a registered voter in the United States.
Are you a Democrat?
Yes, I am a Democrat. And were you chosen by the senator to be his spokesperson tonight?
I think that's a very good question. I have a unique relationship with Senator Kerry.
And he chose you to speak for him tonight.
Yes, he did.
Well, now, wait a minute. Did he tell you to speak for him?
He chose you to speak for him shows poor judgment.
Can I be clear, though? He's in a dream I had. He spoke
to you in a dream?
Yes, he did.
And you're not even actually a person that is representing him, and you are telling voters to shut up? Have you lost your mind?
Ma'am, this is very difficult for you to understand, and I'm trusting you, Veronica. I'm trusting you because you sound sensitive. Senator Kerry came to me in a vision last night.
Dear Jesus in heaven, get off the air.
Did you hang? Are you there? Why, that dirty freaking whore.
Now, wait a minute.
Veronica, through a dream, Senator Kerry has told me to go forward and spread the seed. And spread the word. Excuse me, I didn't mean to say seed, Jesus. I just got in from Las Vegas.
Are you trying to tell me and the assembled listeners here this evening that your communication with Senator Kerry is through dreams and visions?
You You are a judgmental man, Mr. Henry.
Let's forget about me. Are you telling me that this is what he's doing?
Yes. 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 Okay? There. It's off my chest. I feel better. For 4 years, I've been bedeviled by these dreams, visions that would come to me in the middle of a day. And always it was him. Him. Senator Kerry. And he would say to me, Tony, why are you making these television shows and writing these ridiculous things when there's so much greater work for you to do? And I said to him, Master, torture me. Lock me up, but please don't kill me. Don't kill me, Master. He channels through me.
Okay, Renfield. What a freak. Senator Kerry's prime fundraiser in the state of California.
Rats. Thousands of rats. All red blood. All red eyes. Like his, only smaller.
Bill Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
That's such a cool line. Like his, only smaller. That's Renfield, baby, and that's Tony Neal. You can find that on our website. Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Senator Kerry continues to be in the news. I don't want to just be talking about Kerry this, Kerry that, Kerry something else. But the cat's hot right now, right? I mean, Bush, he ain't happening. Bush is boring. Nothing going on with him. Nothing going on with him. Nobody's buying that whole, there weren't any weapons of mass destruction. Oh, my. Yeah, nobody cares. The economy is going to bump along here pretty good. By November, things are going to be beautiful, and no one's going to give a crap. Don't you dig this? I mean, these cats that are wasting all the time with the weapons of mass destruction. Look, that wasn't the only reason why they said we were going to war. The other thing was Al-Qaeda. There was a couple of things, right? And now that it's come out that Kerry and the rest of those guys supported it, and now they got another thing saying that Clinton is really the guy that, you know, didn't act on it. He had the information. He came public with it. He said, hey, weapons of mass destruction, this guy's bad news, so did Al Gore. They didn't do jack crap about it. Guys think they got some kind of a, you know, they got, like, there's a real, that's a real dagger in their hands. I mean, forget it. Now, Kerry, he's up to his rear end in alligators. He's got some chick saying she had an affair with him for 2 years. Well, we're going to find out whether or not that makes any difference whatsoever to the American people. We're going to be talking to Robert Reichel, who is a Democratic Party analyst, about this alleged affair that the senator had with is it an intern, or is it just the catch-all term we use now for just any woman in Washington that has sex with a senator? In other words, if she's 78, she's an intern, right? All right. If it's Laura Bush, well, she's an intern. Oh, I'm sorry, it's the president's wife? Yes. Oh, I thought she was an intern. You can let her through. 1-800-449-8686. And the Best of the Phil Henry Show CD is available online or by calling 877-616-7445. It's the Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. And now, here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Robert Reichel is a Democratic Party analyst on to talk about this most recent flap. It really is just hours old. Senator John Kerry has alleged that to have had sex with a young woman, some intern, a two-year sexual liaison between him and a woman, not his wife. Senator Kerry is married. And Mr. Reichel, can you tell us anything at this point about this?
You know, what I've heard in the press, I would also caution it's way too early to tell about this. But let me address the viability of Senator Kerry's campaign. It's very strong. Senator Kerry is not going away. He will be in this race up to the very end.
But, sir, if it proves to be true, you know, how can this not hurt his campaign? We're talking about an extramarital affair.
Well, Phil, I think you're probably living a little bit in the 90s. This is a new millennium. The American people, I think, suffered in the 90s under international viewpoint that the American people were a bit prudish and not at ease with sexual matters, publicly that is. And I think the American people have realized the mistake that they made. They were laughed at, really, by the other people in the world. I lived in Europe for most of that decade, and I was in Europe when President Clinton had his problems. And I will tell you that it was embarrassing. I love America, and I am myself an American citizen. But I can tell you that it was embarrassing for me to hear the comments about Americans being prudish, being frigid, and not being able to handle a good, a sexual situation.
Well, all right. If Americans can't handle it, we can't handle it. But, I mean, do you think, nonetheless, in other words, this is not going to hurt him?
No, I don't think it will. I think he's going to be attractive to Senator Kerry, like President Bush, is going to be attractive to a lot of women. I think we have found that if we went ahead and if he did it with her, and the American people will move past these things very quickly.
You're speaking for an American people who are very outraged, though, at the Janet Jackson performance, okay? Why wouldn't they be at the Senator Kerry?
Well, the Janet Jackson situation really had more to do with children watching the program. The American people, I don't think you give them enough credit. They understand the mistake that they made after President Clinton did it with that woman on the floor of the Oval Office. They understand it's not something that you want to get upset about. We saw how ridiculous you looked in the eyes of the world after the Clinton situation. It embarrassed Americans. I talked to the American friends who said they felt ashamed that they ever would be worried about a man doing something as normal and natural as that. And
let's say we are prudish over here. This guy was married, the president. Senator Kerry's married. Isn't there just a basic respect for marital vows here? And isn't that a viable issue? Isn't that something to be concerned about with a presidential candidate?
But we're talking about more than that. We're talking about an America that Americans were embarrassed to look so impudent and frigid. So the American people have learned to move past this. I mean, they really should move past these things if they know what is best for them, and they will. So for you to make these comments, isn't it wrong? Is it morally correct? I don't engage in this. I'm only here as an American citizen who of foreign birth, who loves this country, and I see Americans act so stupid that I want to, I feel ashamed for them, and I am ashamed sometimes to say that I ever got my citizenship in this country, and sometimes I wish I went back to Germany, but I don't, because I know the American people can slowly but surely catch up to Europe and other places when it comes to matters of sex, and I don't think it is right to continually pound upon these sexual issues. When all it does is make you, as a people, look stupid to the rest of the world.
All right. Have you spoken with Senator Kerry today?
I have not spoken yet with the senator.
What do you think he's thinking right now about this?
I know that he's probably shaking his head at the desperation of the Republicans to think the American people want to look so stupid again in the eyes of the world that they are going to become concerned with his doing it with a woman. The American people learned their lesson very well. And many of us in Europe weren't sure if the American people would learn their lesson, but they learned their lesson well, and we say bravo to them. They are not going to worry about a man doing it and a woman doing it, and this. The country is most important.
All right. Talking with Robert Reichel, who's a Democratic Party analyst, about the alleged affair between John Kerry and this woman who is yet unnamed. Our number is 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. And you are saying specifically, Mr. Reichel, that the American people were embarrassed internationally by their prudish reaction to President Clinton. And to quote you, they won't make the same mistake again, correct?
No, I honestly don't think they will. The American people have a chance to finally get the respect from other countries if they just let this alleged affair go away, and I would suggest to them that they do that. I think if they know what is good for them, you see, getting the American people learned, as I said, they looked like a collection of old maids fretting over a young man and a young woman doing it. And when you fret over a young man and a young woman doing it, and you worry about a man doing it with a woman, in you become to look not like the young country that you once were, which is America. It was such a young country and such an exciting country. Now you begin to look like an old country, not comfortable with the dance, not comfortable with the dance of life. And as a new American, it is my hope that I can bring this realization to my American friends.
All right, can you tell me if Senator Kerry would be ashamed of this if he had sex with this woman. Is he ashamed of this?
I think the senator realizes, Phil, that we live in the year 2004. The people of this country are sick of George Bush and his very confusing and frightening policies. And this is not 1998. This is not 1999. Americans would do anything, and I mean anything. They would crawl over book and glass not to look as ridiculously prudish and impotent as they did during the Clinton situation. Like we are a nation of people who can't loosen up and enjoy the party, enjoy the dance of life. I lived for a time in the UK as well as France.
And you're originally from Germany?
Yes, and I don't speak about my roots. People ask me that, and the way I answer really is that I'm American now. I love this country with all my heart. But it was a place that really needed to get looser and not to get upset with a politician who wanted to do it with a girl. And I was going to say, in Europe, we laughed at the Americans doing the Clinton thing. We said, my God, what are they going to think of next? That they would be this uncomfortable with the subject of sex.
Senator Kerry has given our country great service in the military. But you say he gives us an even greater chance with these possible allegations of marital misconduct. Why?
Yeah, I think he's given our country a chance to show how we can get past the mistakes. Senator Kerry, if you are here, would say, yes, I did it with this girl, and it was lovely, and we did it, and we did it, and we did it, and Americans should be happy for him. And I
got to tell you, it's going to be a failed, if he tries to do that.
No, I know Americans have not gotten past, have not caught up to Europe in that respect, but I think that they have at least been able to realize how utterly ridiculous they looked during the Clinton situation, where they were running around and saying, oh my God, he did it with a girl, and they did it, and they did it again.
All right, hold on, Mr. Reichel. 1-800-449-8686. Robert Reichel, a Democratic Party analyst, says the allegations of sexual sexual relationships between Senator Kerry and women not his wife are frankly irrelevant. The American people have moved past being embarrassed by these things because they realized how utterly stupid and ridiculous they looked in the 1990s worrying about Clinton. Is that the case? I mean, I'm not asking you, Senator, but do you folks out there feel that is the case? I mean, are we, in other words, a people who suddenly woke up and saw ourselves in the mirror and were embarrassed by how prudish and stupid we looked during the Clinton years? Let's go to Matt. Matt, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Mr. Reichel.
Yes, sir. Mr. Reichel, I am very upset by the points that you're trying to make. I don't think that we are prudish at all. I was very embarrassed by Mr. Clinton, and to think that we might have another person like that in the White House just drives me insane.
I would suggest that you ask yourself, why would that drive you insane? It is a man doing it with a girl, and it is not political, it is personal.
Well, sir, I mean, I am a married man of over 20 years, and if this man cannot keep his vows to his wife, how in the heck can he run this country? I mean, if we can't trust him to keep his own marital vows in his own bedroom to his wife, how can he keep his promises
to us in the
political arena?
That's a good question.
That is the biggest
What's the
thing
question?
That
I don't understand.
There.
What is the connection between keeping your marital vows and running America? I don't understand the connection.
It is called being truthful. It is called telling the truth. It is called being honest.
No, you cannot
that
be.
Is something but, that is very
Matt,
true to me.
In order to be president of the United States, listen to me, Matt. Please don't interrupt me.
Well, please let my caller. Don't say don't interrupt me. My callers are going to want to ask questions.
But I don't want him to. I want to make a point. You can't always be honest if you're president of the United States because there are matters of security, matters of state that you cannot reveal to the American people. Otherwise, it would be national suicide. Are you suggesting that the President of the United States reveal matters of security to the American people?
Well, I'll tell you what, the matters of security to the American people...
You have much to learn, my friend. You have much to learn.
Well, I'm going to tell you what, sir. You said you were embarrassed to be an American citizen. There are planes leaving every day going back to Germany.
Well,
and if that's the way you feel, to be over here as much as we're doing for everybody else in the world, get on one and take yourself back over to Germany.
I
am proud to be an American citizen. I have been raised here. I was born here. And I am proud to be here. And I'm telling you what, I do not want to see another person in the White House like Bill Clinton. I am proud of George Bush. I am proud of the way that he has
run things.
George Bush is an excellent president.
He is a fool.
He is doing a great job.
Yeah.
And
look,
I tell you what, if we get somebody that
could I say something, Mr. Henry?
Hold on, I want to hear. Yeah. Go ahead, Matt. It's all right.
If we get somebody like Mr. Kerry that can't take care of his own business at home. With his own
wife. Well, sir, you are very young in the way you think. This is not senility.
Care of business in the White House.
But Matt, listen to me. You are very young in the way you think. This is not a Cinderella time. This
I'm
is
not 40 years old, sir.
The
I'm
pumpkin
not
is
a young individual.
The carriage is not going to turn into a pumpkin at midnight, and all of the things are good for you. This is not how it is. I love America. I'm an American citizen. But I don't want you to look foolish.
Well, all right, look at... Matt, thank you very much. Well spoken. 1-800-449-8686. You're talking about Americans looking foolish because we're concerned about a president who may be cheating on his wife. We have Robert Reichel with us. He's a Democratic Party analyst who said Americans were so embarrassed at looking like a bunch of frigid, impotent old maids over the Clinton thing that we won't get upset over John Kerry having an affair. Is that true? Have we gotten over it? Are we now hip, and are we now like Europeans? We can accept a man, as he says, doing it with a girl. 1-800-449-8686. This is The Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Talk radio speed trap. Bill Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Talking with Mr. Robert Reichel, a Democratic Party analyst, about the alleged extramarital affair of John Kerry and what this is going to mean to his campaign. But your take has generally been dismissive of the American people as being a little naive and that we should accept this. And the fact is, we just don't accept it.
I understand that. Mr. Henry, I know that you don't, and I sympathize, but the American people do.
No, I don't think the American people do. I think that you're wrong about that.
Well, I'll tell you, I've been in political analysis for quite some time. Plus, I'm foreign born. I was born in Germany. I'm a new American, and I'm able to see this country without this patriotic fervor. I think that blinds Americans. The most embarrassing aspect of the Clinton administration was not his affair with or doing it with a girl in the Oval Office. It was him. It was the American people embarrassing themselves. Have you ever heard of a politician in Europe who lost his career because of a little affair? No, because Europeans are evolved. Americans are very good at pop culture, but when it comes to the matters of the heart, I'm afraid they are like children, and we are trying to redirect that, and I think it's working.
So John Kerry will get into the White House, even though he's had an affair. Steve, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Okay, Americans are very aware that men and women have sex. The problem is that we were embarrassed to have a man in the White House, not because he had sex, but because he lied. He's a lawyer, and he's not supposed to not lie in courts or to Congress, and he lied. We, as American citizens, were embarrassed that we had a liar in the White House, not a man that was having sex with a woman.
But I think
although we believe that women, that men are that are married should be faithful to their wives.
My God, Steve, you sound like a little toddler who has just gotten a bicycle.
Yeah, well, I'm 57 years old, and I'm very aware that people have sex, but I'm also aware that I do not appreciate liars, especially elected officials. Elected officials go to D.C. and begin to serve themselves
instead
of serving the people that elected them in there, because they start thinking that they're smarter than the people that voted them into office in the first place.
Most of the time they
are. And I would also like to invite you to give up your American citizenship and go back to Germany where you come from.
Well, sir, I have to tell you,
any
you need
more people with your opinions in America. We got people already in America that
are you tired? Maybe mommy should give you a piece of cheese and a blanket because this is
all right. There's no point in insulting this man.
I'm not insulting him.
He insulted himself.
I want to pick him up and
America
back him. I want
the rest of the world.
No,
the rest of the rest of the
country.
World were laughing at us because we voted. We were
no,
we were mad enough to vote a man like that in.
No, they were laughing at you.
But twice.
They were laughing at you because you're all embarrassed about a man doing it with a girl. And,
not at all.
You know, yes,
we were upset that the man lied. He lied.
Mm-hmm. Well, sir, you must lie if
not you are supposed to do.
All right, let me jump in here. You said something, Mr. Reichel. You must lie if you're president. What does that mean?
It means you are like a child if you don't think that the president must lie about certain things to keep the confidence of the American people.
The people in the office
and the other thing that
the
gentleman said that I think is wrong is that the politicians are smarter than the people that voted them in. That's why they voted for them and not themselves. A man
most certainly not.
You,
the people
Steve,
that we vote into
you
office
sound silly,
are supposed to serve the people of America,
you,
not serve themselves.
Because a man touched a girl in her toilet area, and you're like a child who is...
No, wait. The man has already said he's upset. You didn't care whether Clinton had sex with Lewinsky, Steve. It's a lie, right?
No, he
it's
is
a lie.
I want to pick
it's
you up, Steve, and burp you. I want to put you down for a nap because of the...
All right. Steve, hold on. 1-800-449-8686. I don't think you're getting anywhere by insulting people.
I'm not trying to insult anyone, Mr. Henry, but you must understand, I am European. I am from Europe. In Europe, we are not afraid of a man doing it with a girl, and we certainly understand...
But address what that man just said. It wasn't that he had sex. It's that he lied.
Oh, my God. This is the most naive of all points. Of course presidents and politicians must lie. They lie to preserve the security of a country. They lie to preserve the morale of the people. Do you tell your children everything? Do you tell them that mommy and daddy may be getting a divorce or that there is not enough money? You don't. You let the children go off to school and to feel good about mommy and daddy and that things will be better. And the American president, in his way, does the same thing. He is not going to tell the American people every bit of bad news because it will only demoralize them. And they can't go off to work. But some of the callers that I have spoke with tonight and on other radio shows that it has been my pleasure to do, I want to pick them up and burp them and put a throw-up bib on my shoulder. And because they're...
Well, you're intimating. They all sound like children.
They sound... The American people are so wonderful, but they are such children when it comes to these matters. They don't understand when a man wants to do it with a girl, or when a president must lie to preserve security.
All right, hold on. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Back with Robert Reichel on the Phil Henry Show in a moment.
The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Back on with Robert Reichel, who's a Democratic Party analyst, to talk about this most recent news. And we don't know whether it's true or not, but Senator Kerry is alleged to have had an affair with a woman other than his wife. You have characterized the American people, Mr. Reichel, though, and you are a native of Germany, correct?
Yes, I've said that, yes.
All right. You're an American citizen, though?
Yes, I am an American citizen.
You've characterized the American people as children, that we reacted to the Clinton news like little children, that we're not as hip as Europeans when it comes to sex, that we're not as, that we were embarrassed, that we were prudish.
Well, I'm only trying to illustrate the point that Americans are going to get over Senator Kerry having an affair with a woman other than his wife much quicker than people are going to think, because Americans were embarrassed. And the day Americans found out about President Clinton having a little sex with this fat girl, doing it with a fat girl, diaper sales, I make the joke that diaper sales went up 90% because Americans messed in their pants over Bill Clinton having sex with a fat girl. This is not a reason to bring a president down, and this is not a reason to not elect a man to the highest office in the country. And when I listen to your callers
who will go on and on and talk, and when I tell them to be quiet and to have some respect, because I have information that they do not have, and they continue to talk, I want to pick them up and I want to smack them as one would a child, because I am an analyst for the Democratic Party. I see the trends, and you must listen to what I'm saying. I have come from Europe where we're much more evolved, and for a caller to say to me and keep on talking while I'm trying to talk, and he's upset about Senator Kerry, I want to pick him up and put him over my knee and paddle his behind as if he were a baby who has just born to the world, as if he sounded like this. Listen to this. That's a doll that Heinz has. Isn't that, he's got, it's a button that we push. And every time we hear Americans talk, every time we talk about Americans and the reaction to sex, Heinz, I said, Heinz, play the baby doll. And he would, go ahead, play the baby doll, Heinz. You hear that? That is the American electorate. I'm going to mess my diapers. Oh, there's some dribble of brown down my thigh. Because the president has made a boo-boo. My God, how childish.
Well, sir, you have certainly been insulting to your adopted country.
No, sir, I have not. I love America.
You have been mighty insulting to your adopted country. Here is Janet. Go ahead, Janet. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Well, I think the first thing you need to do, first of all, I the more I listen to you,
let
the more
guess.
I'm thinking...
I need to go back home to
the
Germany.
The more I'm thinking that you're a joke. That you're a joke that they put on here.
The joke is on you, then.
But if you are for real, then you don't have a clue about the American people. Not a clue.
I don't have a clue about the American people.
And you need to leave. You need to leave.
The American people embarrass themselves when they Bill Clinton.
Hey, don't interrupt me. I'm trying to make a point.
You have to close your mouth.
Don't interrupt me. I'm trying to make a point.
You don't have a point to make,
ma'am. You need to leave.
I come from Germany.
Well, how would you know if you won't shut up and listen?
Because I listen to your mouth, and it sounds...
You're not listening.
I want to pick you up.
You're not listening. You won't shut up and let me make my point.
Have you had your diaper changed today?
You need to leave.
Have you had your diaper changed?
Have you?
Oh, that, my God.
Have you?
That is such an old point.
And all the rest of you Europeans?
Oh, look at you. Listening
to
the old xenophobe.
Because you don't have a clue about the American people.
Do you?
What it goes to is character. We want character in our leaders. And Clinton didn't have it. He wasn't even close.
You don't even have original thinking to tell me to go back to America, back to Germany, ma'am.
You need to shut up for a minute and let somebody else talk.
A good European woman would never interrupt a man, okay?
And there's no reason why we should have to listen to you and your idiotic European
DM. Hold on, people. Hold on. This is Phil. I gotta ask you to let Janet make her point. Because she's right. She did come on here.
She is just someone who says, go back to Germany. They always say that.
No. But you know, let her make her point, because this is getting to sound a little rancorous, okay?
But she is an old fool.
No, be quiet, sir. Go ahead, Janet.
Okay, if he is not going to interrupt me, if he's that embarrassed, and he really doesn't like the morals that we have in this country, then I suggest that he leave. Because... this is how we are. He doesn't have a clue about America or Americans.
All right, are you playing that baby sound effect, sir, for a reason? Turn it off, sir.
He's the child. He is the child here.
You think that
he's
men
acting like
have
my
sex.
9-year-old grandson.
You think that men don't have sex with women. They love to do it with girls. But you sit
I don't
there.
Care if they do or not. It goes to character. It goes to breaking vows that you made.
You know something, Janet? You hear the word Lewinsky and you do brown in your pants. I know you do.
No, I don't. No, I don't care about Monica Lewinsky or Bill Clinton as long as he's not in the White House. It goes to character.
You don't
have a clue about the American people. And let me make another point to you. If you're not a joke,
turn that off. That is ridiculous. That is ridiculous.
But you are acting like an adolescent.
No, you are. The babies are crying for you. They want you to come
Excuse
and play
me.
With them.
I don't have the sound effects. I have intelligent comments to make to you, and you won't shut up long enough to listen to
I have listened to you repeat yourself, ma'am, about it
no,
goes to character.
Haven't.
It goes to character.
No, you
it
haven't.
Goes to character. You said that 50
you
times.
You won't shut up long enough to listen to anybody.
You know, if I was there, I would smack you down the steps of your...
And I'll tell you something. I'll, oh, well,
oh,
come
listen
on.
To that. Now
come
the man,
on.
That is a violent, violent thing to say, completely out of character of our program.
What she has said to me, leave America.
Why don't you just
I'm
hang
an American
up on
citizen.
Him?
I'm an
Why
American
don't you
citizen.
Get him off the air?
Why don't you hang up on this
he
bitch?
He knows nothing about the American people or this country.
Turn off the babies. Turn off the babies.
What a child.
Heinz,
what
Heinz,
an adolescent.
Heinz, put it back in the closet.
And if all Europeans are like that, then no thank you. I don't want anything to do with them.
Look, ma'am, I would put a cork in your mouth and your rear end because both holes smell.
You're not man enough. You're not man enough to do anything to anybody.
Listen, Janet, thank you. 1-800-449-8686. There has to be respect for my callers.
I have had respect for them. And yet they have said, go back to Germany. I have brought on intelligent conversation, and I have been met with a xenophobia and a hatred for foreigners, and I am an American citizen. And if that woman was in front of me, I would knock her wooden teeth straight from her mouth and then put a nipple in her mouth to quiet her, a rubber one or a real one, which she sounds like she would enjoy the real thing.
Jesus. Here is Sarah. Go ahead, Sarah.
First of all, I'm not going to tell you to go back to Germany.
Thank you.
So that's first off. But I will tell you that you have no idea how foolish you sound. You have absolutely no argument. And all you can come up with is calling people babies and playing your stupid soundbite.
They act like babies.
No, no one here is acting like baby. We are acting like a moral society, and you have no right to impose your immoral values on America.
Oh, my goodness. What is immoral about a man?
This is a moral society.
What is immoral about a man doing it with a girl?
America has absolutely nothing to learn from Germany. You are the one who should be ashamed of your history.
You know that in Germany we had a wonderful politician.
The United States of America is a beautiful country, and you are offended. Sir, and we will not vote someone into the White House who undermines our moral fiber.
You hear the baby? You have made the baby cry.
Is that the best you can come up with?
But you know what, sir? They want you to come to play because they think you are a baby like them.
Intelligent argument than that?
Turn it off, please, sir.
But you see, I can't get a word in unless I play the baby.
Is that the best you can come up with?
No, they are your friends.
You have no better argument than that?
No, they are your friends. They want you to come to play.
You are absolutely foolish, sir.
No, I am saying to you that we had a politician in Germany who was one of the best prime ministers we had ever had. He had sex with boys and was found in a diaper.
Really?
He was found in a diaper in a park.
That
and yet, that
is not
going
to happen in the United States because American people have a lot more class than
what,
that.
What prime minister are you talking about?
It's Prime Minister Kogel in the late 1960s. The police found him in the public, in the Eisenstein Park in Berlin, in a diaper because he had some sexual predilection. And yet he's one of the best prime ministers we ever had.
And you're proud of that.
He was a great prime minister.
Well.
Oh, my God.
Well,
you are going to hold this against a man because he loves to make in his diaper and this kind of thing.
That is ridiculous.
No, I am simply saying to you.
I pity you. You are so ridiculous.
Would you please know what?
That is not going to happen in the United States because the American people are a lot smarter than
that. Oh, Sarah, you should take a drink of milk from the nipple of Mother Europe
and learn. That's the best you can come up with?
Yes, I have much better.
Pathetic.
I have much better, but I have to. You have not come up with anything.
No.
You have said nothing except
we are proud to be a moral society.
You would elect a man who has never had sex ever, even if he was a moron and couldn't even spell his own name, as long as his penis had never been in a girl.
Oh my God, Mister! You know, I have to tell you, Mister. Reichel, you do sound a little stupid.
I sound stupid.
You're foolish.
Listen, the babies are calling you. They are saying, "Sarah, Sarah, come. We want to play and bounce balls."
Listen, I have nothing else
when
to say to
you. When you hear the call of the baby, you know you are in the wrong.
I have nothing else to say to you, and you are going to be so sorry
when you hear the tape of this show.
When Mr. Bush gets elected again.
Yeah.
Goodbye.
Sarah, the sound of the baby is calling you. When you hear the baby call, you hear the baby calls you, Sarah. You must go to the baby. Go. Sarah, where's your
mama?
Yes, that's what I'd like to know. You see, this is what these people, they say to me.
Mr. Reichel.
No, I must say, You know, I hear the Americans talk about Bill Clinton. He had sex and did it with a fat woman. And also John Kerry, he had sex. He did it with a girl. And you want to say, oh, America, why don't you go home to your... Mama! That's what you want to say.
Well, I can dig that.
You can dig it, huh?
Yeah, I'm with that. Robert Reichel, Democratic Party analyst on what's up with Senator Kerry and his whole problem, man. We'll find out whether it's indeed even a fact that he's had sex with another woman, an extramarital affair. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Making hot brownies. Bill Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
And now, the Phil Henry Show presents Bud Dickman's News Even Pro Hockey Players Can Understand. And that's really achieving something. Here now from his news desk, not his news deck, or his news tick. Here he is from his news desk in New York. Bud Dickman.
Thank you. Welcome to News Even Hockey Player Understand. A man named John Kerry, he's running to be the president. And he's married. And anyway, he had sex with a girl that's not his wife. And when he pees, it hurts.
Now more news.
Well, I want to do an editorial.
Go ahead. Do that. Now, Bud Dickman editorial, sorry.
What does it mean when you pee it hurts? What does that mean? He says it burns. I don't know.
Now more news.
Martha Stewart is a lady who makes your bathroom smell good after you go in there and take a number two. They're going to put her in jail on account of that.
And now more news only pro hockey players could possibly understand.
They married a bunch of ladies together in San Francisco, and they all wear men's shoes.
Now more news only pro hockey players could understand.
Michael Jackson is rich, but people say he's broke, but his manager said he's rich, and he should know on account of his manager's Jewish. And anyway,
right. That's all, bud. We don't need any more. We don't want any more, okay? Goodbye.
Right, because I made the Jew crack?
Yes! Now get out! This has been news that only pro hockey players can understand, especially Bobby Hull.
I said that Jew remark for you, Bobby.
Produced by The Phil Henry Show, solely responsible for its content, in association with the Agricultural Department at the University of California, Northridge. Stay tuned for What's My Line? As soon as the song ends. This is the NBC Television Network. It'll be over in a second, don't worry. All right. 1-800-449-8686. News that even pro hockey players can understand. And thank you, Janet, for that picture of the two hockey players duking it out there in the middle of that whatever game. I don't know who it was. Two guys just going at it. That is a remarkable part of hockey, the fist fight, isn't it? Those cats, when they fight, they're fighting, baby. It ain't like baseball where they never land a punch. Now, some of the most pathetic... Or football, where they're so stupid, they're trying to throw a punch while the guy's wearing a helmet. Although the guys that are really, the cats that really want to get into it in football, rip the guy's helmet off first. But in hockey, And my father's from Canada, or was from Canada. He's dirt napping now. But when I was a kid, he'd take me to the hockey games. He used to stand me on the seat so I could watch the fights as soon as they broke out. Hey, look at that, it's a fight. You know, like, everything else is dull, but here's a fight. Guys didn't wear any helmets back then. All that. You know, you've heard the whole story. Hockey players are a lot prettier now. A lot better looking, especially you, Yager, since you cut your hair. God, were you... Hey, man, that whole long hair thing, it may be hip over in Slovakia or wherever the hell, whatever crap can you're from, but over here, everybody's wearing it short now. He finally cut that hair off, that greasy hair he was wearing. But you look at him, he's real cute, that Yager. And they can be cute, because today they wear helmets, they've got visors, they got goons, they got bodyguards, they got the whole thing, you know? But back in the day, some of the most frightening-looking human beings on Earth wore skates and said things like, yeah, we're going on to Boston, I think. We'd probably have a pretty good job up there, and they're a good hockey club. And Bobby Hull, I saw a picture of him when I was researching some of those Bobby Hull comments. You see his brand spanking new teeth? God, what? Hey, Hull, darken them upwards. Make it look like they're real, okay? Just big, freaking Matt, who's the guy in Something About Mary? Matt Damon, remember? No, not Matt Damon. No, the guy, Matt Dillon. Matt Dillon and Something About Mary, they used to call him Choppers because he put in the big false teeth because he dug Mary. Jesus, Hull. By the way, Bobby, Sig Heil, and many happy returns, you piece of crap. All right, 1-800-449-8686. I'm sorry, Mr. Hull, I don't watch hockey and I don't know who you are, so I could care less whether you die tomorrow. I'm sure you understand. Coming up, Dave Oliva, to comment on the upcoming Fox show, The Littlest Groom. Is it discrimination? Is it exploitation of little people? Dave says no, you can't exploit or discriminate against dwarfs, only against Mexicans and blacks and Jews and stuff like that. The Phil Hendry Show. We'll be right back.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
One of our listeners, Dave Oliva, and we do this once a month. We get a listener to review an upcoming television show. I haven't seen The Littlest Groom, David, and I hear that it is a show about a dwarf man or a little man. They prefer to be called little people, and a lot of little people women. And he decides which one he wants to marry, and in the middle of it, they introduce a tall woman or something, right?
Well, the show is on the Fox, television show. It's called The Littlest Groom, and then I saw some reviews, and I got to tell you, man, it is hilarious. It's a show about, you know, basically, it's The Bachelor, except they use dwarfs instead of regular-sized people, and, like, I want to tell you, it is hilarious. It's really funny.
All right, so Fox will have a show called The Littlest Groom, and it's this little man looking for true love among what? Other little women, right?
Well, you don't want to call them like little people or little man, little woman, because...
My understanding is the proper respectful term is little people.
But it technically, though, it's dwarf or midget or midget, but that's the technical term, though, so I don't know if you want to do that or...
Well, okay, but aren't they little people? Anyway, go ahead.
Well... what he does, he'll think he'll be looking for a wife among like other dwarf, you know, like other dwarf people, and then he's gonna find out, okay, that there is like a regular sized woman that they put in there too, okay. I've seen some of the previews, man. It is hilarious how he's talking to all these dwarf women, and all of a sudden this regular sized woman comes out, and it's funny to see this guy who's like a dwarf, and then he thinks he can have like a regular sized woman. It's hilarious. Because, you know, it's funny to see this little dwarf man think that he's going to have, like, a regular-sized woman, which there's not, no way, you know, is that going to happen, you know.
All right, can I stop you from, are you still at work?
Yeah, I'm still, we got two more oil changes to do, and then I'm knocking off for tonight, and I got school tomorrow night.
Well, anyway, thank you for joining us while you're working. But I want to stop you now, and I got to tell you what you're describing to me. This TV show on Fox is kind of breaking my heart a little bit. I mean, this poor man, I mean, in a world of people that he sees as peers, other women his size, and then without his knowledge, they introduce this regular-sized woman. I mean, it sounds like a little bit of exploitation, and it sounds like these little people are being laughed at for ratings. I mean, this guy who isn't the same size as the rest of the world, it sounds like he's being discriminated against, is the point.
Okay, but let me just hold you up there, Phil, because, like, first of all, Mr. Henry, I'm Mexican-American, and I have been discriminated against, like, you know, so many times, and I can assure you this show is about dwarfs. It's hilarious. I mean, it's truly hilarious. It's not discrimination.
This is a little, see what I'm saying? It's a little man.
No, it's not.
It's a dwarf, as you say, and other dwarf women, and little women are going through this bachelor thing and bachelorette thing, and the only reason why it's on is because they're unusual-looking people, and they bring in some regular-sized woman to further mock this man. This is, to me, discrimination. It's stereotyping a group of people different from the larger norm, and it makes fun of them.
Again, I've got to stop you right there, okay, because you're really not in an area as a white man that you know anything about, okay? I'm Mexican-American, and so because of that, I know about discrimination, and you can't discriminate against, like, a dwarf or anything or people like that. Discrimination is about being made fun of because you're Mexican or you're black or you're a Jew or you're, like, a lady or something like that, but a dwarf... I mean, dwarfs have been, we've had fun with dwarfs for so many years, you know. And when you see the show and, like, the people that are listening to your show, like, right now, it's hilarious. You know, you're going to laugh to see, one of the scenes they do line dancing, and you see these dwarf people, like, doing line dancing. It's hilarious, man. You have to...
So, because you're a Mexican, you understand discrimination, and you can't discriminate against dwarfs, only Mexicans, blacks, and the... traditional groups.
Yeah, I mean, you have to understand, you're a white man, okay, so you don't, like, know about discrimination like what I do, or other Mexicans do, or whatever. Dwarfs is different. It's funny, man. I'm not saying to be cruel to a dwarf, but also, you know, it is hilarious, and if you see it, I think you're going to like it, you know.
All right, hold on. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. You said something, Dave, that I'm going to hold you to. As a Mexican American, as an African American, as a Jewish person, you can be discriminated against, but not as a little person.
No, look, let me explain something to you. Like, the first open heart surgery was done by a black guy, you know, not the first open heart, but the first heart surgery was done by a black guy, okay? And I'm very proud of that.
Yeah, Dr. Daniel Hale Williams, right, 1893. He was an African-American surgeon. He performed the first heart surgery, right.
Okay. And, you know...
But he was an African-American. He's not Mexican.
But what I'm saying is, it's the same thing. If you Mexicans use what blacks did, we're proud of that, too, because it's the same... It's almost like the same thing, you know?
So in other words, if a black guy does something great, Mexicans are proud of it.
Because, yeah, I mean, we're all, it's not really different. But the point I'm trying to make is what has been done by the dwarfs or by the...
Let's call them little people just for the sake of making me happy, okay?
Okay, let's call them that. And what have the little people done? Have they invented the three-cycle engine? No. Did they invent the stoplight? No. Did they invent... the surgery? No. The black did, you know, and so we're proud of that. I know I'm Mexican, but we Mexicans are proud of black stuff because, you know, of we're not like aware of a lot of stuff that Mexicans did, but we do. We are aware of what blacks did.
David, you just said to me that dwarfs, little people, we can discriminate against them because they've never done anything like invent heart surgery or the three-cycle engine, right?
Yes, sir.
Isn't discrimination where you just put down somebody because of their orientation, whether it be size or race? Is it got nothing to do with what they do?
No, it's not putting them down, though. It's not the same.
It would be like if I said, we got a new show, it's called Hispanic Wedding, and we're going to have a camera in there, and we're going to watch a bunch of Mexican-Americans do the Mexican hat dance and wear purple tuxedos, and it'll be like, what's interesting about that?
I don't understand what you mean.
In other words, why would I do a show like that?
Why would you do a show like that?
The only reason to do a show like that is so people could kind of check out the funny-looking purple tuxedos on the Mexicans and the press-on nails, right?
You want to start putting down women. I mean, I don't know why you would do that. You know,
I'm not putting them down. I'm saying, what if I stereotyped Mexicans that way and said, okay, here's Mexican wedding. Why would people...
But that's not funny. The dwarf wedding is funny. That's what I'm trying to say to you. It's not funny to look at Mexicans getting married. It's funny to see a dwarf wedding. I mean, my God, it's hilarious. Also, if you look...
It might be funny to some people to see a bunch of Mexican chicks with the Aquanet hair.
It's not. I'm telling you, it's not funny. It's not funny to see that. But the dwarf wedding on the Fox TV show, man, God, it's pretty good. You got to check it out. I mean, you really need to check it out.
All right, hold on for a minute. 1-800-449-8686. I'm talking to Dave Oliva. There's a new show on Fox called The Littlest Groom. It's about a little man, and he wines and dines a bunch of little women to see which one is going to become his, you know, his wife or his main squeeze, and they throw in a regular-sized woman unbeknownst to him. The whole thing sounds a little discriminatory. It doesn't sound discriminatory so much as exploitive. Dave says you can't exploit or discriminate against dwarfs or little people because they didn't do the stuff that blacks and Mexicans have done. 1-800-449-8686. Let me just get you, I got to ask you something. The other comment you made that is irking me, man, is you say I got nothing to say about it because I'm white?
Well, yeah, because look, you're white, so you can't even talk about discrimination. You don't know anything about it. The black and the Mexican, yeah. You leave it to me, okay? I'll tell you what's discrimination, and you just, I mean, and you insulted our people, too.
And how?
By saying purple tuxedos and Aquanet hair and all of this stuff, you're trying to make fun of us? That's a good fight, man. I mean, what I'm trying to say to you is, you know...
Well, you got the little midgets on TV and laughing at how they line dance.
But they didn't invent nothing. It's what I'm trying to say.
Well, you know, Dave, I suspect a lot of people probably agree with you. Little people, I mean, why not make fun of them? They're small. They can barely defend themselves. It's very cowardly, man. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The new show is The Littlest Groom. Dave says it's funnier than hell watching all these little dwarves walking around and drinking wine, and the little man's going to pick a little woman, and then they throw a big woman into it. And as far as Mexicans and blacks are concerned, they're the ones that are truly discriminated against. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Get a piece of fat and slide off. Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
The show's called The Littlest Groom, and it's about dwarves dating each other. And I have Dave Oliva on the line. Dave, you've said that you think that the show is funny, that it's not discriminatory, and yet you say that, you know, as a Mexican, you'd be offended if they did some Mexican show about dating.
Yes, sir, I would. And I don't know what your whole problem is about. Everybody knows that dwarfs are funny. I mean, I don't mean to be cruel, but everybody knows they're funny. What's the problem?
No, not everybody knows they're funny. Not everybody knows they're funny. A lot of people, a lot of really limp, limp-brained, limp penises people do.
Limp penis?
Well, you know what, man? It's cruelty is what it is. You go to Rachel. Hello, Rachel. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hi. I was driving and I was listening to what the caller had to say, and I've never been that amazed at just blatant ignorance in my entire life.
Well, are you talking about me or Mr. Henry? Because
David, whoever the guy is who's called in.
That's me. That's me. My name's Dave Oliver. I was watching the show because they told me to look at the show to see what it looks like, and it's hilarious.
Well, I've seen the previews for the show. I haven't actually seen the show, but I would have to agree with Phil that it seems very harsh and very discriminatory, and I think it's kind of embarrassing that television has gone to the level that it has when reality TV has gone to such an extreme that they have to...
See, I'm Mexican, and I know what discrimination is, and to have the white hole... I mean, I like Phil. He's a good guy, but he's white, you know?
You know, I what really does he don't know about understand it? See, what does he how, know about how you know what discrimination... truly is. We had every right to discriminate against you tonight listening to your comments. And
do you hate Mexicans?
No, I love
Mexicans. What are you talking about? What are you talking about?
What I'm saying is that we really need to, I think all of us have been discriminated against at some point in our life.
Haven't you ever seen, don't you think dwarfs are funny to look at? I mean, I don't understand how...
Look at their people, man. They're people.
Funny to look at.
I mean, how can you say dwarves are funny to look at?
Because they are. I mean, if you discriminate against me, you're racist.
Well,
that
may be your personal opinion, but it certainly is not an argument for,
ma'am,
I mean, it doesn't even prove, it's just a crazy argument.
Ma'am,
right now,
there's no good comedy shows on TV, especially since Jamie Foxx went off the air, right? The Married Dwarf show is hilarious. It's the best comedy
television,
show.
Television in general is in a sorry state, I believe. And I think that...
Some good shows like Punk'd was good. They took Punk'd off the air. Jackass was good. They took that off the air.
I don't see how you can say that we as white Americans don't know what discrimination is.
Come on, when has anybody said you can't come in here, you can't use the bathroom because you're white? Yeah, right. That's never happened to you. Okay.
Maybe not in this country, but
I bet if you watch The Little Groom, you'll laugh your ass off. Because The Little Groom
is
so funny, man.
I think I find some humor in more simpler things in life.
It's hilarious.
To laugh at someone's predicament, which they cannot help from birth.
Well,
I mean, I agree with Phil.
When the dwarfs line dancing, you laugh your ass off. I swear, it's hilarious.
When you see the dwarfs line dancing.
The only other funny thing that was on TV was the Carrot Top PBS comedy special. That was hilarious, and the Jamie Foxx's show is hilarious.
I wonder what kind of household you grew up in, and I wonder what kind of training you've had. You sound I don't even know your age, but you sound extremely immature, and like there's some. I mean, your intuitive power is just amazingly below minimum.
You're using a lot of big words just to make the Mexican look stupid, but.
Many intelligent Mexican Americans.
What big words?
I have so many intelligent Mexican Americans that I know would be embarrassed by your comments tonight.
Look, I sure hope the midgets get it. And you said predicament? The midget's going to get laid. What predicament is that? Oh my God! I can't believe it.
All right, look at Rachel. You did a pretty decent job trying to get through to this idiot. And
who's the idiot?
You are, man. Thank you very much for calling. Predicament, huh? The guy's going to get laid.
Hey, if you saw some of the midget, and
what's a midget?
That's the proper term I was telling you. You say it's little people, it's midget, or they're midged.
Get out of here, you fruit! And what do you mean if I saw some of them?
They're hot!
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They are, man! Some of those midget chicks are good-looking. And I'm not discriminating against them at all. I want to follow their lives, you know, see what's going on, everything like that. Follow them around. Do they live like in the hole in a tree? Or, you know,
You're an idiot.
Do they live like in a hole in a tree?
That's Dave Oliver with The Littlest Groom. It's on the Fox TV network, and it's a bunch of dwarf people, and they, you know, for your amusement and for your entertainment. I saw the guy on TV today, the guy that created it, and he's very proud of it. He's very proud. He feels like he's empowering dwarfs. Maybe he is. Maybe the cat is. And maybe the fact that he threw in a regular-sized chick is just, hey, you know, there might be some women that are hot for dwarf guys. Wait a minute. What do you want now?
By the way, Mr. Henry, the correct Spanish word for midget is pronounced Oompa Loompa. Yeah. By the way, Baba Booey.
What an ass. Dave Oliva, that's the last time I give that guy a job to go watch some TV show. Yeah, I thought it was perfect for him. All right, anyway, you guys watch it, man. I'm sure you'll enjoy it. You know, laugh at the little people, laugh at the midgets. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I'm sure you're real proud of it there, pal, whatever your name is, Eric something or other, Eric Dunghead or something. Yeah, yeah. You're empowering the little people, right? Well, maybe you are, dude. Maybe you are. You know, what would be cool is just to, like, throw a few into a sitcom, put a couple in a drama show, have them in a movie. All right, 1-800-449-8686, number here on the Phil Henry Show. Coming up, we got a Jim Sadler flashback. I don't know if you heard Dr. Sadler, but he was on, was he talking about Carrie yesterday and the whole younger woman thing, I think? Anyway, we'll be talking, we'll be listening to him. And our email address is phs@philhenryshow.com. That's phs@philhenryshow.com, and we'll be right back.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. You can all go straight to the nether reaches. Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Dr. Jim Sadler was on our show yesterday to talk about something called bad news punishment. Now, what is that? Well, it's when your kids screw up. You don't say you screwed up, here's your punishment. You just simply give them some bad news. He's no longer living with his wife, so when his kids come to visit, generally his girlfriend is there. And when his kids screw up while they're visiting him, his girlfriend came up with this idea of bad news punishment. So one day when the kids came home late from something, the girlfriend, Tracy, told the children that their mother was an alcoholic. And Dr. Sadler thinks this is great because Tracy, well, she's one hell of a woman, and she knows worlds that he doesn't know, even though she's 30 years younger than him.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
This is directed there to the doctor. Sir,
yes, ma'am.
Your daughter should be priority number one, not your new squeeze. The message you are sending very loud and clear to your two children is that the chickie you are sleeping with is more important than they are. That you allow your girlfriend to discipline your children in any way undermines you as a parent. Also, your lack of parenting skills is evident in that you allow an alcoholic to have custody of two children.
Tracy says so it's okay.
So you and your Tracy,
You're a couple of hypocrites
because you try to send the message that being an alcoholic is a bad thing and to be ashamed of, but yet that's who you're allowing to raise those two children.
I asked Tracy about that. She says she's a functioning alcoholic.
Sir, Tracy's not the PhD you are. She's some
That's the point. She's the PhD. You're the PhD, not Tracy, and you're letting this... What do you mean she says that your wife's a functioning alcoholic?
Phil, I was married to Claire for 27 years. I never knew her to drink to excess. So for this very young woman to have that kind of insight is amazing. My younger daughter, Catherine, she lost two sweaters. We told her about the... Catherine always wanted an older brother, and so Tracy said, you know what? You might have had an older brother had your mother not aborted a baby. I think that ties in very neatly with the message. Hello?
Is
the caller still there?
Yeah, I'm still here. Tracy is very
knowledgeable. She used to babysit.
I can't. We're on the radio. I can't say what Tracy is because there's mixed company out there. But the way you're
Watch it.
You're the one that calls her a piece of meat, not me.
Somebody
calls me a piece of meat. He's getting a slap on the face. Let me tell you.
I called her a piece of meat to her face.
Yes, I was talking
to a man, and it's none of your business what I said to Mr. Henry.
Wait a minute.
You're on the radio, dude.
You're on the radio, dude. What is this? Have you ever watched Jerry Springer? Hello?
You know, what's interesting, ma'am, is do you drink because you sound exactly like my ex-wife? Exactly.
No, I do not drink. You're making me hysterical here because I can't believe this is coming out of your mouth.
I want to know. It seems very, very cruel for a little girl or a child to lose a sweater to get news like that.
That was my concern as well. But Tracy says the truth is never cruel. Truth is information.
Tracy says.
Oh, I get it. So the two of you are saying I'm PW. Is that it? Is that what you're saying?
PW?
Say it nicely. Yeah, she must really do a good job on. She should write a book.
Well, what you must think of me, you must have a pretty low opinion of me.
Well, sir, you've been hearing nothing but low opinions of you since we came on the air. The fact that
I asked Tracy, okay, because I was starting my career. I asked Tracy, was it right of me to ask my wife to have the abortion? I was starting my career.
Wait a minute. Your wife had an abortion at your behest? And yet it's your wife who gets the heat from Tracy?
I was starting a new career. Traveling the country with a wife is tough enough. A wife and a baby, when you are an up-and-coming psychologist in a very crowded field, yes.
So you aborted a baby for that, and then you turn around and Tracy says, did you know that your mother did this?
You know, you're really going to take... It sounds like you don't like Tracy.
She sounds evil.
Do you like... Yeah, it's a good thing you're a woman.
Evil.
It's a good thing you're a woman.
Evil.
All right, thank
you,
bitch.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
That's the funniest line of the whole thing.
Bitch.
Tracy says, Daddy's new girlfriend. Yeah, gotta do what Daddy's new girlfriend wants you to do. I remember when my old man came home with a couple of young women. See, my folks separated, I don't know, I was 12, 13. And, you know, we would see our father on the odd weekend, like, you know, you're supposed to, whatever. And he'd be some chick, a couple of them, you know, and by the time I got to be 16, I got seriously interested in my old man's dates, especially including one of his wives. And she was, like, old, but built. And that's the twisted, sick environment I grew up in. So, MILF, brother, I was living that world long time ago. All right, 1-800-449-8686 here on the Phil Henry Show. Back with further thoughts and crap. Oh, I got a thing I want to rap about. I don't know how appropriate it is. The other day I was just driving home thinking about. I was listening to a new CD I got by a band called Avenged Sevenfold, which is a moderately interesting group out of Orange County, California. And they're, I guess, kind of a proto-metal band, little speed metal things going on there. And I was listening to this, and I was thinking, how is it that music came to this point? You know how it got to this point? Slavery. Slavery. Slavery, I suddenly realized, the reality of the history of slavery is the whole reason why we have culture the way we have it today. Honest to God, I'm not kidding. It was bad, and yet we wouldn't have the America we have today were it not for slavery. See, it's like this thing that everybody wants to forget. I don't think we should forget slavery. I think we ought to remember it. I think we ought to recognize it as a horrible crime. I think we also have to recognize it as a moment in history. It's all kinds of stuff. Is this totally irrelevant from, like, talking about dwarves, though? I don't know. Anyway, you know, I'll just talk about it right now, and then we'll go to our break. Avenged Sevenfold draws directly on bands like Judas Priest. Judas Priest drew directly from bands like Black Sabbath. Well, there would never have been a Black Sabbath had there not been a Led Zeppelin. Led Zeppelin was the first metal band. And there would never have been a Led Zeppelin had there not been the Yardbirds, who were a precursor to Led Zeppelin. They were a heavy blues group, and they had a lot of the same personnel that Led Zeppelin eventually had. And there never would, for instance, Jimmy Page was in the Yardbirds. And there never would have been a Yardbirds had there not been Sonny Boy Williamson, who is a blues harmonica player and a singer. Yardbirds were very much into blues, especially when they had Clapton. And there never would have been a Sonny Boy Williamson had there not been Leadbelly. And Leadbelly was an early 20th century performer of rustic blues, blues music, which Sonny Boy Williamson later and other artists electrified, went up to Chicago. It became the Electric or City Blues. Leadbelly was a blues player. And there never would have been even a Leadbelly were there not the cotton fields where the spirituals and a lot of the blues music was sung and originated, and there wouldn't have been people out in the cotton fields if there hadn't have been slavery. See? So, and it totally makes sense, because when you hear the alienation of bands, especially young people in those bands, it's like completely dovetails with what obviously must have been profound alienation felt by slaves and their ancestors. So, slavery's children, the real children of slavery, are metal bands. Honest to God. They have more in common with the slaves of the Old South than many African Americans do. I mean, African Americans have much in common by virtue of race. But the real alienated, stressed out, angry, violent thing that, that the blues gave birth to is present in today's metal and speed metal groups like, you know, Avenged Sevenfold or some of that crap that Chris listens to. So that's my little speech. And I know it sounds goofy, but you can't deny the fact of it. So there you go. All right, 1-800-449-8686 was just something I was thinking about on my way home while I was smoking a joint. I'm kidding. I'm joking. I was just driving home listening to my CD and going, All right, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Hey, is that John and Ken? John and Ken. I was listening to John and Ken driving in. They're playing clips of themselves on TV. Whatever, dude. You know, that's nice. Jesus H. Hey, we were on TV. If you didn't see it, here's what it sounded like. You know, nothing against John and Ken. I like them, and, you know, they're great guys and everything, but you know, here in Radio Land, man, we are so ashamed of what we do for a living that anytime anybody writes about us in a newspaper or puts our ugly, ugly faces on television, we have orgasms. It's just, oh. And we play it on the radio and we ask our friends, did you see it? Now, having said all of that, when's that piece I did for the Dennis Miller Show going to get on the air? Because it's really pissing me off that they haven't. Seriously, Janice, have you talked to anybody? You know what? If that thing doesn't air, man, you cats over there at Dennis Miller, you told me it was going to air. Look, I don't care whether I do it or not, but when they called me up and said, hey, do you want to do a thing, three-minute thing on a show? I said, sure, if it's going to be on the air. I'm not going to be one of these cats that goes in, cuts something, and you go, well, we don't know whether we want to use it or not. And they said, oh, yeah, it'll be on the air. Guess what, man? I did it last Tuesday, and it's been a whole 8 days. 9 days. So what, are you just pulling me, man? Are you just, toying with my feelings? With my feelings of wanting to be a star? But honest to God, I guarantee I ain't going to come back and play it on the radio. Here's how funny it was. Wasn't it funny? I really try not to laugh when we do stuff on the air, but sometimes I can't help myself. My God, some people I listen to on the radio, and they are looking for things that are funny that they said, so they can go, ha! Listen, I said something funny. All right, let's mark down the date. You know, December 7th, 1941, the guy said something funny on the radio. Now, listen, three things. Number one, I've been reading a lot about kids smoking. Really? You don't want kids to smoke, huh? Is it bad for kids to smoke? Then how about we make a world where they don't want to reach for a cigarette every time they go outside to go to school? How about that? That's Phil Henry thought number one. If you don't want kids to smoke, let's start making life a little easier for them to live. As far as I'm concerned, kids, you ought to smoke. You ought to start... I can't believe half of you don't smoke. The world you live in, the lack of protection provided by adults, the fact that you're taking your ass in your hands every time you... I'm going to be on Dennis Miller tomorrow? Thank you. I just got the word. Anyway... Seriously, somebody just called. Who was that?
Maria.
Was it my wife? My wife's out there listening going, tell that jackass that I got the call. Okay, so we'll be on Dennis Miller tomorrow night, 6 and 9, if I'm not mistaken, because I think Dennis runs twice. It's a great show, made even greater, I guess, by me being on it. Anyway, honest to God, I keep seeing these things. You know, high school smoking is real. That's the real problem. The real freaking problem is keeping them alive, man, till they get to be 18 and not sodomized by some guy in a parking lot someplace. Not chopped up into little bite-sized nuggets, put into suitcases, and left along the highway. Are you putting me on or not? You perverted people out there that are sticking your noses into the sex habits of kids, sticking your noses into whether they're using drugs. I don't think they should use drugs. I don't think they should smoke. But by God, I'd rather they smoke and use drugs than run out there into the world and be picked up by every predator there is and turned into freaking hamburger before our very eyes. If I'm 15, well, I smoked when I was 15, so that's kind of... But I would smoke two packs a day instead of the one that I did back then. Why are you smoking? Why am I smoking? You know, Philip, my father used to say, Philip, I think you're pissing your life away. Remember my dad saying that to me? He said, why would you smoke cigarettes? You know, they kill you. Well, I smoke them, Dad, because you and Mom smoke them? Well, you smart ass. All right, let me come up with another answer there, Pops. I smoke them because they taste good and because every time I walk out the door, some guy might want to pick me up, have sex with my behind, and then put a bullet in my head. How about that, man? Maybe I'm just nervous living in this disgusting, frightening slaughterhouse of a country that you created for me. Well, you little... I thought I was making a good point, Dad, but I... All right, that's point number one. Number two. Look, if you really think George Bush is going to get Osama bin Laden before the elections as his way of ensuring victory, then you must believe that Paris Hilton released the video showing her having sex with that greasy-haired guy she used to go out with as a way to promote her TV show. And you also have to believe Jim Morrison and Bruce Lee are playing cards someplace. Because that's the kind of thinking that we're getting into in this country. We got U.S. senators now saying... You know, I wouldn't be surprised if Osama bin Laden is captured before the elections, as if the whole thing was created by George Bush. 9/11, the whole thing. Yeah, to make his life easier, because God knows he's got it real good now, doesn't he? Got more people that hate his guts than I've ever seen in my life. They hate him more than they hated his old man. You know, they think that Paris Hilton released the video because she wanted to promote her TV show. You know that, don't you? I mean, it's a small step from there, folks, to, well, we've been in contact with our friends on the planet Vornman, and they assure us that they won't eat us. So let's all gather there on the hill. All right. It's you might as well go out to freaking Burning Man and just wait for the saucers and just go, ooh, ooh, when you see them overhead, you freaks. And then one more thing. Robert Atkins, great American. But because he's dead, now they feel like crapping all over him. He's the guy that came up with the Atkins diet. If you're a fat pig like me, and you've tried it and it works, you know it works. It's a high-protein, low-carb diet. You ever heard the high-protein? The guy that came up with it was a guy by the name of Robert Atkins, and he came up with it because he had patients that were literally going to die if he didn't do something and do something fast. He came up with this diet. It saved people's lives. It became a diet that many people started to use. High-protein, low-carbs. Robert Atkins was a giant. He was an unconventional thinker. He was a doctor, and he was also a rather irascible man because he'd taken so many shots over the years from people, very unfair shots. You see, the medical profession, if you're going into the medical profession, please be advised, it's full of little tiny people. very small people who think they're much bigger than they are. People that would disgrace a man's memory because they didn't think of the Atkins diet. He did, because it isn't called the Schwartz diet or the McDermott diet. It's called the Atkins diet. And right now, the little tiny minds in the medical profession are trying to smear this man's reputation. Just remember, when you hear the high-protein, low-carb diet mentioned, remember it was a Robert Atkins who invented it, and when you lose all those pounds, you know, you can look heavenward and say, thanks a lot, Doc. And your own doctor? Well, if you need a handful of speed or a handful of tetracycline, you can go to him for that, okay? That's what he knows how to do.
Well, you're really an asshole tonight, you know that?
Thank you. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.